Hello, and welcome to the BTG Podcast. I am your host, Jen Fable, of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. BTG stands for Bridge the Gap, and it's inspired by my own healing journey. After receiving 7 different mental health diagnoses by the age of 19, I quickly realized that there is a massive gap between what I believed and understood in my head and what I truly felt in my heart. And no matter how many therapists I went to, I couldn't seem to bridge that gap until I found the tools and information that I share in my one-on-one private sessions, trainings, and right here on this podcast. My goal is to help you begin to bridge that gap by bringing you different topics related to mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And in case you didn't know, this podcast is recorded live during my bi-monthly virtual healing circles. These are virtual gatherings that are 100% free, and no RSVP is required. So you're welcome to come whenever you can and stay as long as you want. Each circle, we open the space with a candle meditation, after which I will share with you my favorite grounding practices and lead you through a circle casting, guided meditation and breathwork, followed by a soul-inspiring gratitude practice. If you are interested in learning more about how you can continue your journey and experience my virtual healing circles in real time, please visit www.btgwellness.com/circle and join my free circle membership. If you like what you hear in today's episode, please also remember to leave a review and share the love by sharing this episode with your friends, family, and social network. And as always, if you have any questions about anything at any time, please feel free to reach out to me through either of my websites, either btgwellness.com or my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com, or through email or social media. Enjoy the episode! Welcome to the Virtual Healing Circle. With me, Jen Fable of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. And tonight we're going to get to know your chakras. I am so excited about this topic. I am shocked that I made it this far into the podcast and into Healing Circle without having actually talked about the chakras. I literally run retreats twice a year where we get to know the chakras and learn all about them. And so I'm really excited to bring this to Healing Circle tonight. So why is this important? This is important because understanding your body's energy system helps to give you a unique framework to understand how to navigate your own healing journey. You are an energetic being in an energetic universe, and so understanding how energy moves inside and around your body, kind of a big deal, don't you think? This is important because being able to recognize blockages in your specific systems can help you know what next step to take. And often that's where we get stuck in the journey. And this is important because ignoring your body's energetics will leave you feeling frustrated, like you're missing an important piece of information, because you literally are. Now, in the past, we've talked about this idea that you exist on 4 realms or layers of reality. So, of course, there's the physical realm or physical layer of reality. This one's really easy to recognize. It's the one we interact with all day, every day. It's the one that you can see and smell and hear and taste and touch. Anything in your world that you experience through any of your 5 senses exists on the physical layer of reality. In terms of our actual bodies, the physical layer of reality in us is comprised of things like our bones, our skin, our muscles, our tissue, all the physical stuff that makes us who we are. We have the emotional realm or emotional layer of reality. This is associated with the part of our psyche known as the unconscious mind. This is the part of us that handles our emotions. Our emotions don't exist really in the physical. I mean, we have biochemical markers like neurotransmitters and hormones, but we're not really sure which one causes which. And so your emotions live very much so on the emotional layer of reality. This is where we hide all the aspects of our world and traumas and dramas that we don't want to deal with. When you say things like, I put it out of my mind, this is where it goes. And so your emotional layer of reality is where we hide all the stuff that we don't want in the mental realm and that isn't in the physical. There's the mental realm or mental layer of reality. This is associated with the part of the psyche known as the conscious mind. We consider anything that we're aware of as being real, but we acknowledge that there's a lot that goes on around us that we don't really notice. If you've ever had your partner look in the fridge and say, "Where's the milk?" and you go over to the fridge and literally light right in front of them. Or I went to the supermarket a few years back looking for eye drops, and I looked in the section that said it's supposed to have eye drops, and I couldn't find the ones I wanted. I went to the guy at the front. I'm like, "Do you have this one?" He walks right over to the shelf I was literally in front of, points at the shelf right in front of my face, and said, "There's the eye drops, exactly what you're looking for." So sometimes things are right in our clear space physically, but mentally, we're not really paying attention to it. Your mental layer of reality is all about trying to make sense of what is going on the emotional layer of reality. So the emotional layer of reality gives meaning to what your experience is on the physical, because all that data out there in the physical layer of reality, it's neutral, right? You're just seeing something. It really has no meaning. But once it gets filtered through all our dramas and traumas and all that stuff that we've dealt with or don't want to deal with and all our emotions, we end up giving meaning now to that physical experience. That meaning, however, is intangible. There are no words on the emotional layer of reality. You ever try to describe your emotions to someone? It doesn't go very well. It's really hard to do. So the mental layer of reality is where language comes into play. This is where we attempt to use words to describe what we're experiencing on the emotional layer of reality, which is how we are interacting with our physical layer of reality. Stay with me. I promise we're getting to the chakras. That brings us now up to the energetic layer of reality. This is the part of us that doesn't exist in any tangible form. It doesn't exist as a feeling inside of us. It doesn't exist as a language that our conscious, mental, thinky self can understand. But it's one that we just somehow sense. Has anyone ever been like standing close to you and they're not touching you, but like, blech, they're touching you? Where? They're not physically touching you, they're not emotionally touching you, they're not mentally getting you with their words, but somehow we can sense it. That's the energetic layer of reality. And that's where your chakras come into play. The energetic realm doesn't have the confines of the body, and so it's expansive. It's not limited by our emotions or forbid our language. And so the energetic self has access to all that good stuff beyond. In the field of quantum physics, it's postulated that outside of us, there exists something called the quantum field of potential. This is the theory that all realities exist all at the same time at once in superposition to each other. So all that is, all that was, all that will ever be or could ever be exists right now in this moment in the quantum field of potential, waiting for us to collapse the quantum wave into what we experience as actual reality. Kind of trippy. Now, you do not have access to the quantum field of potential directly. You have access to your energetic self, and your energetic self has access to the quantum field of potential. And this is where the chakras come into play. The chakras are about how the energy moves from that quantum field of potential into our energetic sphere, and then through our mental, emotional, and physical layers of reality. I like to think about it as just another layer of information. So when I was, I don't know, my sister and I are 7 years apart, so she was in university, so I guess I was like 10 or 11 years old, and she was studying forensic toxicology. My sister and I are both super duper nerdy, sciences, biology, chemistry. She had the math skills on top of it, so she was able to go farther because when you get to certain levels of science, it's basically math. So she was studying forensic toxicology and she had all these anatomy books. And I've always been fascinated with all that stuff. And what I liked was in her anatomy book, they had, if you've ever seen these things, they have like one page and it's like the skeletal system of the human. And then there's this other page that you can put on top of it, which is like a clear, almost like a cellophane with, let's say, the organs imprinted over it. So now you have this overlay of the organs and talks about like the organ systems. Actually, in this book, you can do it one by one, I believe, the organs. And then it had like the central nervous system. So you can add that layer on top of it. And layer by layer, you could like build and unbuild a human and learn about all the layers that make us who we are. Our skeletal system is separate. It functions as its own unique unit, but it's part of us. Your muscular system, your central nervous system, your respiratory system, your lymphatic system, your digestive system, these all operate as their own systems within our whole. Think of the chakras as just another layer in that book. It's just another system that interacts. It just happens to be one that is part of the energetic layer of reality. So now that you kind of see how this all fits into everything, the big question is, what the heck is a chakra? The word chakra itself is a Sanskrit word that translates to wheel or circle. It's imagined to be like a spinning vortex of energy. As the energy comes from a quantum field of potential and interacts with our body, it does so through these little energy vortexes or little spinning wheels, or what is called a chakra. Each of these vortexes is said to resonate at very specific frequencies. We'll talk about that in a moment. And the energetic layer of reality, because it moves through our body so profoundly, it's also very deeply connected to things on the physical layer of reality, so specific glands and organs in the body, on the emotional and on the mental layer of reality. Now, when I talk about you are an energetic being in an energetic universe, I don't mean that like in the spiritual sense. I mean that literally. Our ability to interact with the world outside of us happens because our bodies are designed to pick up on specific frequencies. We're able to hear because our ears are attuned to specific sound wave frequencies. The reason we're able to see is because our eyes are designed to pick up electromagnetic energy and translate it into a visual image in our mind. Everything we interact with in our world is dependent on our ability, our body's ability, to pick up on frequencies and translate it into usable data that our brain can understand and interact with. Let's go a little bit deeper with the electromagnetic spectrum. The universe is made up of electromagnetic radiation. This radiation comes in different forms, from very low frequency waves, such as that you'll find in like AM and FM radio. On the other end of the electromagnetic spectrum, you have really high frequency energy, like gamma rays, like X-rays, like ultraviolet radiation. And then not quite in the middle, but a little off center from the middle, you have this area of the electromagnetic spectrum known as the visible spectrum. We can't see infrared. We can't see ultraviolet. Bumblebees can see ultraviolet, but we cannot see ultraviolet. We can see only the frequencies that fall within this little teeny tiny part of what's called the visible light spectrum, which is part of a way larger electromagnetic spectrum. So the reason you experience something as red or green or orange or purple has to do with the wavelength of the energy as it reflects and is absorbed by the items around us and then enters through our eyes and is evaluated, interpreted, and processed by our brains. Longer wavelengths or lower frequency energy is experienced by our eyes as red, while shorter, higher frequency waves are experienced as violet. And it is the difference in the frequency of these wavelengths that allow us to experience all the colors of the rainbow that exist within that visible light spectrum, which is part of that larger electromagnetic spectrum. Stay with me. So what do I mean by wavelength? What do I mean by frequency? The wavelength is considered to be the distance between the crest of two waves. So think of a wave. A wave goes up and then down and then up and then down and then up and then down, and that's what creates a wave. If you were to measure the distance between the up and then the next up, so it goes up and then down and then up again, the distance between those two up parts, known as the crest, that is the wavelength. Now, some waves have a very short wavelength. That means they have a lot of up and downs within a certain amount of time. The number of cycles per unit of time, that is what determines the frequency. So in something like the color red that has a low frequency, the distance between the waves, those crests, is much longer. Whereas in a color such as violet, the distance between the crest of the waves is much shorter, meaning it has a higher frequency. Each color in the visible light spectrum is associated with a very specific wavelength and frequency. So the reason you perceive the different colors in your environment has to do with the wavelengths of the light. Typically, the human eye can detect wavelengths from about 380 to about 700 nanometers. And this is detected by the cone-shaped cells in our retina, which act as receivers tuned to the wavelengths in this narrow band on the spectrum. Other portions of the electromagnetic spectrum have wavelengths that are either too large or too small and energetic for the biological limitations of our own eye's perception. Now, this might all sound well and good, but what does this have to do with the chakras? Well, it turns out that as that energy from the infinite quantum field of potential interact with your own energetic layer of reality, it does so in a way that highlights the different frequencies inherent in that energy. If you've ever seen like a beam of sunlight going through a prism or some sort of a crystal, and it goes in as white light, but it splits out into all the colors of the rainbow, that's kind of how it happens with your chakras. That energy from the quantum field of potential is that white light. And as it moves through the prism and crystal of your body, it splits out into all the different frequencies, hence why your chakras are also associated with very specific colors, which we're going to get into in just a moment. But before we do, I want to back up for just a moment, and I want to talk to you about human embryology. I know, I bet you never thought a talk about the chakras would talk about embryology. But I find this to be a very helpful frame with which to understand the chakras, because otherwise the information seems very interesting, but not really usable. And my goal is to make this as usable as possible for you. In the beginning, when the human embryo is first created, it's the result of the sperm cell and the egg cell meeting during the process of reproduction. And the moment the egg and the sperm meet, they trigger an immediate chain reaction, forming a brand new cell called a zygote. Now, this single-celled zygote, through the process called mitosis, begins to split. So the one becomes two, two becomes four, four becomes eight, and so on. But it's at the eight cell stage that things really begin to get interesting, because this is where a process of differentiation begins. This is where those cells, who up until this point have been completely identical, begin to curl onto themselves and begin to branch out and specialize. And each of these eight cells will eventually become one of the major organs or glands in your body. The really cool thing is that these are also the exact same organs and glands that connect to each of your chakras, which I think is kind of neat. So now that you have a better understanding of the different layers of reality that you exist on, now that you're beginning to understand the concept of wavelength and frequency, now that you're understanding how the human embryo begins to develop and how those eight cells go on to become the major organs and glands that govern all of our life processes, now let's talk about the chakras. Now, when it comes to understanding the chakras, I find it most helpful to understand it through the lens of human development and psychology. A lot of you know that's my background. I have a degree in psychology, and I found that understanding the chakras through the energetic language is helpful, but not very useful. And again, my goal is to make this as useful as possible, because if you're not able to use the concept of chakras to understand yourself better or to interact more healthfully in your life, then what's the point? So when we are first born, our main priority is to be safe. We're born squishy. Humans don't have a lot of defense mechanisms, and we're born really helpless. So our first job as a brand new human is to make sure we're getting some very basic biological and physiological needs met. We need to make sure that we have food and that we have shelter, because without food, we're not going to survive. And without adequate protection from the elements, we're definitely not going to survive. And this is where the root chakra comes online. Your root chakra is all about the physical layer of reality. It's all about knowing that you are safe. So the root chakra is all about safety. It's all about getting our physical needs met. It's about survival. Your root chakra is associated with the element of earth. The element of earth is all about physical reality. It's about the physical layer or realm. So your root chakra is associated with anything that exists on physical reality. When our root chakra is balanced, we will feel safe. We will feel supported. We will feel grounded. The actual location of the energy vortex of the root chakra is said to be at the base of your spine. The root chakra is associated with the color red. Why red? Well, as that energy from the quantum field of potential goes through the quote-unquote prism or crystal of your body and splits into all those colors, the lowest of the frequencies is red. The gland that the root chakra is associated with is your adrenal glands, which makes a lot of sense. The adrenal glands are what produce cortisol, which is highly involved in your fight or flight mechanism. In other words, it's associated with your feelings of safety. Safe meaning that you are getting your needs met consistently and accurately. Now, when we are first born, we are gifted to other humans who may or may not have perfected the art of being human themselves. That means that they make a lot of mistakes. And so when we are born, it is very unlikely that all of our physical needs are going to be met accurately and consistently all the time. I mean, our parents are humans, right? They're suddenly put in charge of this new human life, and they don't know what they're doing either. But sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. Maybe we're crying because we're hungry. They think it's because we have a dirty diaper, so they change us, but they leave that biological need of hunger left unmet. And for some of us, we don't get to feel safe right off the bat. And that's where you're going to find the root chakra not fully developing as we grow. When we are not feeling safe, we are instead feeling afraid, and fear is what blocks your root chakra. In our modern adult life, the root chakra is associated with things like money, because money is what gives us financial and physical security as adults. And so anything to do with your finances is also going to be associated with the root chakra. Once we know that we are safe, that's when we start to develop relationships with the people outside of us. Once we have our basic needs met, now we can pay attention to who's there. From an evolutionary perspective, it is imperative that we create emotional bonds with the people in our life. Those of you who are parents know that sometimes your kids are amazing and you love them to pieces, and other times they kind of suck. And so having these emotional bonds is crucial to our survival as a species. So once we know that we are safe, now it's time to learn that we are loved. In this stage, our job is to learn to connect with those who are outside of us, our family, our tribe. And this is where your sacral chakra comes online. Your sacral chakra is associated with the color orange and the element of water. This chakra is all about the emotional layer of reality. This is where we start to give meaning to our experiences. Once our basic biological needs are met, next is time to get our emotional needs met. Your sacral chakra is located in the lower abdomen, and it's associated with the reproductive organs. This is where we learn that we belong. In this stage of development, our entire world revolves around nourishment and pleasure. Your sacral chakra is all about pleasure. It's all about creativity and giving birth to something new, not necessarily in a reproductive sense, but in any sense. When you give birth to new ideas, when you access your creativity, when you allow yourself to flow in the waters of your emotions, you're playing in the realm of your sacral chakra. Your sacral chakra represents your connection and your ability to accept and be receptive to others and new experiences. In order to know that we are loved, we have to be willing to receive the love of others. So your sacral chakra is a receptive vessel for love. While the heart chakra, which we'll get to in a moment, is all about the output of love, the sharing of love, your sacral chakra is where you receive the love given to you by others. That's how we know that we are loved. Your sacral chakra is blocked by guilt. When we feel guilty for being receptive, when we deflect compliments given to us, when we think that our ideas aren't okay, that will keep our sacral chakra from functioning at its optimal level. A lot of us were raised to believe that sexuality, that connection, that reception, that passion, that creativity are not okay. We were taught to squelch these feelings, to damper down our ability to create in order to conform. And so a lot of us, especially those of us raised with dogmatic practices, have issues in our sacral chakra, which is why so many of us suffer from issues with reproductive organs, such as PCOS, endometriosis, prostate problems, All of these are said to be connected to blockages of the sacral chakra. So once we know that we are safe, the next part of our development as this new human being is to know that we are loved and that we are lovable. And that's the realm of your sacral chakra. Once we know we are safe, once we know we are loved, now we have to figure out who is the I who is safe, who is the I who is being loved. In the first two chakras, we didn't really know that we were separate because it was all about making sure that we still maintained that connection. But once I know I am safe, once I know that I am loved, now I get to explore who that I am is. That is being loved. That is being safe. And that's where we move up to the solar plexus chakra. The solar plexus chakra is all about now exploring your own individual self separate from other people. In the beginning, children don't have this ability to know that they are separate from others. Your solar plexus chakra is where we start to first ask questions of who am I? Who is this person who is being loved, who is safe? Now, there's actually a really cool experiment that can let you know just when the solar plexus chakra begins to come online, called the Rouge Self-Recognition Experiment. It's also sometimes called the Mirror Test or the Mirror Self-Recognition Test. This is a test that's done in behavioral psychology, and it was first developed in 1970 by an American psychologist named Gordon Gallup Jr. And it's an attempt to determine whether or not an animal or a creature possesses the ability of self-recognition. This is generally considered to be a traditional method for attempting to measure self-awareness. So how it would work is they would take a baby, somewhere around 1 year of age, and they'd put a little sticker on its forehead, and then put the baby in front of a mirror. Up until the point when a sense of self develops, the baby will look at the child in the mirror and will attempt to pull the sticker off of the mirror baby's forehead. And then somewhere around the age of two, when the solar plexus chakra begins to come online, when our sense of self begins to develop, if they repeat the experiment, they'll find that now this time the baby will know to reach up and take the sticker off of its own forehead. And that's around the time we start to realize that we are separate from other people. That is the solar plexus chakra being born. That is the birth of someone's consciousness. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. So your solar plexus chakra is all about the I am. It's related to your self-worth, your confidence, your self-esteem. It's associated with the color yellow and the element of fire. It is all about creating heat and energy and power. And so your solar plexus chakra has a lot of energy in it. When it is balanced, we are confident and assertive and self-compassionate. Your solar plexus chakra is located in the upper abdomen, kind of like where the two parts of your ribs come together. That's the solar plexus. So this is the solar plexus chakra. Your solar plexus chakra is connected to your pancreatic gland or the pancreas. The pancreas is associated with insulin production and the balancing of sugar on the physical layer of reality, which means it's all about having a balance of sweetness in life. An oversweetness in life or not enough sweetness in life can imbalance the solar plexus chakra because sweetness for life is how we express our I am. So your solar plexus chakra is your personal power. It's your self-worth. It's your confidence. It's your self-esteem. It is you with a capital Y. Once we know we are safe, once we know that we are loved, now we get to learn that we as we are, as our own separate self, is enough. And that's what the solar plexus is all about. When we don't know that we're enough, when we instead try to hide who we are to make other people feel comfortable because it's not safe to be who we really are, that's where we can start to feel a lot of shame. And shame is what blocks the solar plexus chakra. So once we know that we are safe, once we know that we are loved and lovable, and once we know that who we are is enough, now from that space, we are meant to offer love and compassion to others. And that's your heart chakra. Your heart chakra is associated with the color green and the element of air. It's right where your lungs are, lots of air in that area. It's connected to your thymus gland, which is an important part of your immune system. Your heart chakra is all about taking the energy of safety, of receptivity and love and desire, combining it with your unique I am, and now blasting that into the world as pure love. Your heart chakra is the output of love, and we are supposed to have an output and an input for love, and most of us are so busy deflecting what is offered to us. Most of us have so many hang-ups in our sacral chakra that we're not willing to receive what is offered to us, and therefore what we are offering to others is built on a very shaky foundation. Since this is all about offering love, the opposite side of the coin of love, much to all human chagrin, is grief. Grief is love. It's a missing of love. It is a space for love. It's an evolved love. And so when we have flowing love, this chakra is open. And when we are holding on to the absence of love or grief, that's what will block this chakra. This chakra is all about knowing that we are worthy of love and of loving. While your sacral chakra is all about I am loved, this one is I am worthy of that love. And when it is balanced, you will feel gratitude and compassion and love and inner peace. Unfortunately, a lot of us have experienced traumatic stuff in our childhood that left us questioning our safety, that left us questioning our lovability or questioning our worthiness and our enoughness. And so a lot of us end up carrying so many wounds in our lower three chakras, which means when we seek to actually share our love with another person, we're actually doing so more to confirm our own sense of safety and worthiness rather than share our love from a balanced, safe place. So when we have not healed the lower three chakras, our ability to love will often come from a place of fear or codependency. And so a lot of us have a hard time experiencing the version of love that is meant to keep your heart chakra open and flowing. There is said to be like a little half wall between your solar plexus chakra and your heart chakra. I like to think of it kind of like the sun peeking through the clouds. The sun is always there, and there are some days where it's really cloudy and you can't see it, and there are other days where there's some clouds and it's getting the sun peeking through and you can see some of it. When we have wounds in our lower chakras, when we don't really know that we're safe, when we don't really feel loved or lovable, when we don't know that we are enough, then we can access the heart chakra kind of like we're seeing it through the clouds. We'll see it. It's always there, but you're going to get it more peeking through. In order to experience the full brightness of the love of our heart chakra, we need to be offering love from a sense of feeling safety, from feeling lovable, from feeling enough. Once we know we're safe, once we know that we are loved, once we know that we are enough as we are and we are radiating love, now it's time to use our voice. A lot of people are like, I gotta speak my truth. I'm gonna talk about that. A lot of people are speaking truth from the wrong place, from a place of not feeling safe or loved or enough or worthy. And so what blubbers out their throat chakra isn't their actual authentic self, even though it will feel that way. Your throat chakra is located, surprise, in your throat. They were very easy about labeling that one. It's associated with the color blue and the element of ether. What I love about the throat chakra is that this is the first place in the system where we can actually start to change the energy flow around us based on the energy we have built within us. So when I know I am safe, does anyone around me know I'm safe? No, they don't automatically know that. When I am loved, do people around me, while just looking at me, happen to know that I am loved? No, can't tell that. If I know I am enough and that I'm worthy, can anyone know that? No. But when I use my throat chakra, when I use my voice, I add actual vibrational energy waves into the space around me. I am taking that which is in me and I am sharing it with others using actual sound vibration. When you use your voice, you change the universe. You are creating frequencies, actual frequencies of sound waves with your throat chakra. That's an amazing thing. We're meant to use that throat chakra to share specific information. So I'm going to talk about that in a moment. This part of us is blocked by lies. When you are nice and you tell someone something that you don't believe just to keep the peace. When you say, I'm just going to go along with the flow and I'm a people pleaser and I'm just not going to rock the boat. Those are lies because they are not expressing your authentic I am and your unique love. And so when that happens, this chakra can get unhealthy. Your throat chakra is all about knowing that your voice matters, that you are meant to express yourself. And again, you can have an overactive or an underactive. Some people might have an overactive chakra if they have verbal diarrhea and barf every thought in their head all over everyone. And then afterwards they're like, oh, why did I say all that? Underactive might be not speaking at all. This chakra is associated with your thyroid. People who have thyroid issues often have problems speaking too much or not speaking enough or not knowing their I am enough to give it a voice. Once we know we're safe and loved and enough and worthy and that we are allowed to speak our truth, now we want to open up the third eye chakra. In the spiritual world of love and light, we like to skip all the gross stuff in the lower chakras because they're part of the emotional realm and emotions feel feely. We want to jump right up into the energy world, into the land of love and light, and get the third eye perspective. But if it's not anchored to safety, if it's not anchored to receptivity, if it's not anchored to your joy, it's not going to stick around very long. Your third eye chakra is all about being able to see the bigger picture. It's about your intuition, your ability to dream beyond the confines of your mind, to be able to see the expansiveness that exists out there in the realm of dreams and possibility. Your third eye chakra is located right between your eyebrows, and it is associated with the color indigo and the element of spirit. The gland that governs and is connected to the third eye chakra is your pineal gland. The pineal gland is a little teeny tiny endocrine gland, and it produces melatonin, which helps modulate sleep patterns, circadian rhythms. Now, this little gland looks a lot like a pine cone, hence why it's been named the pineal gland. And if you were to point in the center of your forehead and at the top of your head, where those two fingers kind of intersect, deep, deep, deep inside the brain, that's where we're going to find the pineal gland. What's really interesting about the pineal gland and why it's been called a third eye is because biologists noticed that in addition to having the conventional eyes, many vertebrates also have another way of seeing through the top of their heads. So in birds, the pineal gland, which actually protrudes above the two hemispheres of the brain, is very sensitive to light and it helps govern the daily metabolic rhythms, the so-called circadian clock, if you will, of the bird. If you were to take the skin above the pineal gland and darken it with dye, the bird actually loses its ability to adjust its daily cycles of light and dark and develops sort of a perpetual jet lag. Now, while the human pineal gland does not respond directly to light at this time in our biological existence, there is some postulation in scientific communities that it did function in that way at some point. Now, it was the ancient Greeks who were the first ones to notice and become aware of the pineal gland, and they believed that it was a guardian and a valve for the flow of what they called pneuma, which is an ancient Greek word for breath or spirit or soul. So it is said that the third eye chakra is the place in our physical body where we actually have a receptor that connects with that which is beyond. It's our little radio antenna for that quantum field of potential to allow us to be guided by it, even though we can't perceive it directly with any of our five senses. Your third eye is all about knowing that you are being guided, that you are connected to something beyond. It is your guiding light that exists within us and allows us to interact with that quantum field of potential, to be moved by it and with it. And this chakra is blocked by illusion. It's blocked by the illusion that we are separate. In our solar plexus chakra, it's all about the I am. It's all about our individuality. It's all about knowing that we are separate from other people. Once we get back up into the higher chakras, your third eye is all about knowing that while we do have our individual self, that doesn't mean that we've been abandoned here and that we're all alone. We are connected. We are part of something grander than what our five senses can detect. And your third eye is all about knowing that we are part of a bigger picture. So once we know that we are safe, once we know that we are loved and are receptive to the love, once we know that we are enough and that we deserve to fill our life with joy, once we know that we are worthy of sharing our love with others, once we know that we can speak our truth and see that bigger picture, now we can begin to connect with that greater consciousness and collective. And that's the crown chakra. So your crown chakra is located right at the crown of the head and the very, very top of the head. It is associated with the color violet and the element of consciousness. It is the pituitary and hypothalamus glands in our own body that connect with this chakra. And this one's all about knowing that we are just a part of a bigger divine plan. While our sacral chakra is about connection to actual beings on our physical plane, because it's lower down near the physical, this is about our connection to the all, what Sigmund Freud called the collective unconscious. And we know that we have this because it's been studied. So the crown chakra is not only about connecting with divine energy, it's about knowing that we are all connected and that the separation we experience as humans is just because of the physical layer of reality. When your crown chakra is balanced, you can be present in the moment and you can have faith in your guidance. Your crown chakra is all about faith because there will not be any evidence in the physical layer of reality for that which is detected by your crown chakra. You cannot see, smell, taste, touch, or hear that which is beyond, but your crown chakra is still very much picking up on that data. This chakra is blocked by attachment. Attachment meaning when we need to be right, when we are attached to an outcome, when we are trying to force reality to make it feel better or be more convenient, then we're not being guided. When we're not allowing ourselves to be guided, we're not allowing ourselves to move with that collective unconscious and energy. So your crown chakra is all about having that connection on the energetic layer. So now that you're beginning to have an understanding of what the chakras are and how they play with the energy inside and around your body, the big question is probably in your mind of, well, how do I go about balancing them? How can we go about making sure that our chakras are open and the energy is flowing, that they're not overactive or underactive? And the good news is that because each chakra resonates at specific frequencies, both of color, light, and sound, and because your chakras are the connecting point between your energetic layer of reality, your energetic self, and your physical self, there are a lot of things that you can do to bring them into balance on all four of the realms. So you can use things like food to help balance your chakras. Let's say you're working on your root chakra that's associated with the color red. So eating foods that are red. Strawberries, watermelon, things like that. If you want to work on your heart chakra, eating green foods will be helpful for that. You can do something called a color bath. A color bath is basically taking a special kind of a bath bomb that has colors added into it, adding it into your bath water so that it actually makes the bath water a specific color. I very much recommend using colors specifically designed for color baths. If you just chuck a bunch of like food dye into your bathtub, you're going to stain the snot out of your bathtub. So you can buy actual proper bath bombs that are designed for color baths. So whatever chakra you want to work on, you pick that color, you add it to the water, and it literally changes the water to that color so that when you're taking your bath, you're immersing yourself in the frequency of that chakra color. You can use sound to balance the chakras using things like tinksha bells, Tibetan singing bowls, wind chimes, binaural beats. Each chakra, in addition to resonating at certain frequencies on the electromagnetic spectrum, meaning the different colors, also have associated frequencies on the sound scale, which is called the solfeggio scale. You can look these up, anything from 396 hertz, which is your root chakra, all the way up to 963 hertz, which is associated with your crown chakra. So when you see these different kinds of singing bowls, the reason some of them have higher or lower pitches, because they're designed for different chakras. This is why it's so wonderful to have a sound bath. Those of you who have come to my live retreats know that we always start the weekend with a live sound bath to help balance all the chakras, to use that sound frequency to start to bring those harmonics in our body into alignment. You can use crystals. So when picking crystals, choose the color that you want to work with. So red crystals like carnelian, really good for the root chakra. Purple crystals like amethyst, really good for your higher chakras like your third eye and your crown. Citrine is yellow. It's great for your solar plexus chakra. So picking a crystal that's the corresponding color to the chakra is a great way to start to balance your chakras. You can use essential oils. There are tons of websites out there. If you just do a quick search, you can find all the different kinds of essential oils for each of the chakras. Bergamot and ylang. Ylang is great for your sacral chakra. Cypress and lavender, great for your heart chakra. Again, doing a quick search will easily give you access to all the different kinds of oils and which chakra they are best to balance. You can use visualization. The really cool thing about our human mind is that it can't really tell the difference between imagined and reality. And so if I imagine beautiful red light coming into the root of my spine, if I visualize that and imagine that to the point where I can actually believe it, my body will believe it and it'll help balance out that chakra. So using visualization and your imagination is a great way to start to balance your chakras. You can use different physical activities. Again, when you come to my retreats on the Sunday, you know we do different activities to help open up and balance the chakras. Hugging for more than just a second, doing a proper hug where we are heart to heart and sacral chakra to sacral chakra. A lot of times when we hug people, we do heart to heart, we stick our butts out. But if you want to do a really in-depth, beautiful tantric style hug, hug someone and make sure that your sacral chakra is pressed against them as well. So that not only are you offering love from the heart, but you're able to receive the love being offered to you from your sacral chakra. I, of course, love hula hooping. It's a wonderful way to open up your solar plexus chakra. Anything that brings you joy will work on your solar plexus chakra, doing things that light up your soul. If that means dancing, creating, taking a nap, whatever lights up your soul and brings you joy is by definition working on your solar plexus chakra. Now, because your chakras exist throughout all layers of reality, and because you are meant to work on them on all layers of reality, the physical, emotional, mental, and energetic, I do recommend doing some emotional work to help balance your chakras. You can wear all the crystals that you want. You can soak yourselves in every color of the rainbow and slather yourself from now until kingdom come with essential oils. If you're not doing the emotional work in your life to know that you're safe, if you're not doing the emotional work to know that you are lovable and enough, then it doesn't matter how many crystals you have around you. It doesn't matter how many singing bowls you bang on. You need to be making sure that you're doing that work on the emotional layer of reality to help keep it in balance. Otherwise, the second you go out into the world and feel unsafe, all those crystals, not going to help you. So making sure you're actually working on all layers of reality, including the emotional realm. Most of us like to skip that one. We're like, nope, it's okay. I'll just put crystals in my bra and rub essential oil on my heart, but I don't ever want to feel my feelings. And in order to be able to work with the higher chakras, the higher you want to go, the more grounded you must be. If you want to play in the land of love and light and the all, you have to know who you are first. Otherwise, who's playing with the all? And so we want to make sure that we're actually doing some emotional work. This, of course, is my jam. So if you're not sure where to start, come chat with me. This is where I like to play. Affirmations are good for balancing your chakra. Things like, I am safe. I am loved. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with affirmations, I'm not going to lie. I want you to notice that the word is affirmation, not convincing myself that I believe it, even though every wound in my head says it's bullshit. You are meant to affirm that you are safe and affirm that you are loved, not try to convince yourself that you are. If you're trying to convince yourself, there's probably emotional work that needs to happen to let the message come through. Now, I mentioned before this idea of speaking your truth, and I want to ask you, which truth are you speaking? Are you speaking truth from your root chakra, where you're in survival, fight, or flight mode, and your adrenal glands are always firing? Is that the truth that you're sharing? Sometimes. Are you expressing it from your solar plexus chakra, where it's all about me, 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 me? Sometimes. Are you speaking your truth from your heart chakra, where it's giving and giving and giving, but doesn't necessarily always know when to stop? Or are you speaking from your sacral chakra, the place where your desires live, the place where you are receptive to the connection to others? This is where we're supposed to be speaking from. There is an intimate connection between the sacral and throat chakras, and it's for a reason. When one is happy, the other one is happy. These two chakras have a different relationship with each other than the other chakras. When we are speaking up, when we are activating our throat chakra, when we are expressing our true self, we are meant to express it from the space of being receptive, of being creationists. This is where we're supposed to be speaking our truth from. Most of us aren't taught that. The reason we have a hard time with this is because once we get up into the I am, what happens once you know that you are an I and not a we? How do you know the difference between an I and a we? Boundaries. Your solar plexus chakra requires boundaries. Otherwise, when you are speaking from your heart space, you are speaking from a space without boundaries. You haven't identified your I am. And so we want to make sure that we are sharing the love of the sacral chakra, the expression of our pure bliss and pleasure and desire. That's what we want to be sharing with people. That's what speaking your truth is supposed to be. So some key concepts to remember. Remember that keeping your chakras in balance is not meant to stop with things like sound baths and essential oils. You are meant to use those practices as a jumping off place to allow you to heal more deeply on all four layers of reality: physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. Remember that finding balance in your chakras is not a one-time set it and forget it process. Getting out of balance is a natural part of being human. It's going to happen over and over and over again. So finding balance is not about staying there and never getting out of balance. It's about knowing how to recognize when you're out of balance sooner and adjust faster. And remember that healing your chakras means honoring the unique role of your voice in your development. You are not meant to know that you are safe and then keep it to yourself. You're not meant to know that you are loved and lovable and then keep it to yourself. You're not meant to know that you are pure joy and love, and then keep that to yourself. You're meant to share your heart's desires, the beauty that is you, with the outside world. And finally, I want to remind you to decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. I'm sure you were hoping I would say something along the lines of, oh yeah, yeah, just rub yourself in essential oils and listen to some sound baths and like eat red foods and stuff, and you're going to be fine. Knowing that we have a responsibility to find healing on all layers of reality, it's going to be scary. So just decide you want this more than you're afraid of it. And that's always the decision that will take you to the next step. And as always, if you have any questions about anything from tonight's circle or podcast, please know you can always reach out to me through either of my websites, either btgwellness.com or my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com, or through email or through social media. And if you are curious to learn more about my chakra balancing retreats, feel free to go check that out at btgwellness.com/retreat.
Hi, Jen and everyone. And yay, that was fucking amazing. That is such a good, great freaking explanation of all of them and how they interact, act together. And, you know, it's wicked cool. So, oh my God, amazing. Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah, chakras is one of those things. I remember when I first learned about it and I'm like, I don't understand. And then as I started to do this work, I realized that we're all kind of talking about the same thing and not really putting it together. And I think to have a conversation about the chakras in energy terms doesn't really tell you how it fits into your actual human self. And so it makes the information interesting, but not accessible. And so I'm practical and nerdy, and I'm like, let's make this accessible. So it's kind of developed over time. And when I cross-referenced it, like, oh, you know, like the music scales, and oh, like what I know from biology, it made sense. And so thank you for letting me nerd out in that capacity with the chakras and help make it more sense for you.
No, I'm serious, Jen. Like that, like really just a lot. Yeah, along with like the music and the way you weaved everything into each other, like, and made everything make sense in different ways. It was just amazing. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the BTG podcast, which stands for Bridge the Gap, with me, Jen Fable. Remember, if you want to experience my virtual healing circles in real time, visit www.btgwellness.com/circle. And of course, if you have any questions at any time, please know you're always welcome to reach out to me through social media or through my websites at btgwellness.com or through my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.